Okay, I do not have pages marked on here, so
you guys will have to help me. Okay, good thing we got plenty of time. All right, let's fire up here.
This is advanced teaching today. Here's the page numbers.
Page numbers. All right, you guys remember this here? This was they actually went away from this not long ago. Okay, and it's because it caused too much problems. They had, you know, the green, blue, yellow, orange, and red. And it was threat levels. And it was all came about after 9/11. And it was a way to kind of let people know where we stood as far as what kind of trouble to expect. Okay? And so as I was preparing this, I prayed about what Yahweh, what should I be teaching today? And this really came to my mind. And as I started putting it together, I remembered this advisory system. And so I thought to myself, how would that work for our lives if we make this applicable to our lives? Okay? So let's kind of go through this and you guys participate with me here. Life warnings. Okay? Would be green. Maybe misplace something temporarily. Okay? Not a big issue.
Like your Bible.
That's up into the yellow now. Okay? But those types of things, you misplace something. When Guy lived with us, he misplaced his stuff every day. And it was, I told him, I said, put your stuff in the same spot over and over and over again. And then when he'd be looking for it, I just kind of be like, don't say thing. And I'm like going, yep, because you know. But yes, it's frustrating, but it's here somewhere, okay? I did that with my phone not too long ago where I set my phone down. And I'm like going, okay, I know I have it here because I was talking to you on the way home with it. So we just had to find it. And then as we started thinking to ourselves, you know, the home phone, we were able to call the phone and we're about to get rid of our home phone. I'm like, we're still getting rid of the home phone. But anyways, so these are kind of low-grade type of life things. What would be a blue? Some a little bit more severe, maybe.
Not sleeping at night,
okay? That would be a good one. Having issues with, could be a family type of a deal. Yellow, okay? Now we're getting up here into the middle ground. Could be something that would be, got into a fender bender. Okay? Traffic's jammed up and I'm going to miss an important meeting that I really need to be at. Okay, and then we get up into the orange and things are a little bit more. Got into a fender bender, but it wasn't a fender bender. Somebody's in the hospital now. Obviously red, you're at the top. I mean, that's bad. Red's bad. That's at the top. And so the thing is, all of us are going to go through these. There's no way around this. There's no way around. So I kind of in a morbid way, as I go through and do these things, I have kind of a warped sense of humor a lot of times. But it's the coming storm. And as I was going through there, I'm like going, everybody's going to have it. Everybody's going to go through storms in life. There's no way around it. And as I'm preparing this, I'm like going, many are the misfortunes of the righteous. I'm like going, well, that's not a motivational poster. It's kind of a demotivational poster. And I'm like going, but at the same point, let's be honest. Let's deal with these things. Storms are coming. There's no way around them. They're coming. You are not going to avoid them. Whether you are righteous or not righteous, but what was it say? Many are the misfortunes of the righteous. Okay? There's more to it. We're going to kind of get to it. But as I was putting that together, I started thinking about the negative reinforcement thing. Discouragement. Because there's nothing standing between you and your goal but a total lack of talent and complete failure of will. And I kind of laugh because there's a ton of these. And these hit home with me because in the Air Force, somebody spent millions of dollars going through and putting all these motivational things all over the place. You know, the single guy rowing his little kayak thing and stuff like that. And I'm just like going, you know, you'd walk by and read them and you're just like going, after a while, just like going, ugh. So when these came out, it was kind of funny. We're like, when we should order some of these and swap them out just to see if anybody notices, you know, in the commander's office. All right. So, the storms. It's all right. As we're going to go through here, we're going to look at three different areas of this sharing. Okay? We're going to look at the storms of the righteous. Okay? Which is what we should be in. Okay? Righteous storms. Then we're going to look at storms of the wicked. Okay, and how this affects them, and how Yahweh, because when the whole deal with this is we're going through this, is how this affects with Yahweh, Okay? So there's so many false teachings out there that Yahweh's in control of everything, and he just smacked you with this Category 5 hurricane. You lost half your family, but there's something good going to come out of that. Okay? And so this is the false stuff that comes out. And I'm like going, okay, that's not correct. That's not correct. And so as we go through there, the righteous storms, the storms with the wicked, and then we're going to look at, the last one will be what I call the lifeboat. Okay? What do we do in the storms? How? What's our preparation for when we're in the storm? So let's start off here with the righteous, okay? And so I'm going to be calling on a couple of you guys to read. We're going to start off in Psalms 34. It'll be in the 540-ish range. Okay, 34. 544. And who would like to read that, 11 through 19, for me?
Oh,
okay, I'm going to move this lamp over here real quick. I'm sorry, I meant to do that earlier.
Don't move it too fast, the dust will come off of it.
That way I can see. Okay.
Come ye children, hearken unto me, the reverence of Yahweh while I teach you. Who is the man that desireth life, loving days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from wickedness, and thy lips from speaking deceit. Depart from wickedness and do good. Aim at well-being and pursue it. The eyes of Yahweh are towards the righteous, and his ears towards their cry for help. The face of Yahweh is against such as do wickedness, to cut off from the earth their memory. They made outcry, and Yahweh heard, and out of their straits had he rescued them. Near is Yahweh to the broken in heart, and the crushed in spirit will he save. Many are the misfortunes of the righteous, but out of them all doth Yahweh rescue him.
That's it. Okay, and so that's where we're looking at it here for the righteous. For how Yahweh views this here, we're looking in the Old Testament, how Yahweh views the misfortunes, the things that are going, and that Yahweh is calling, you know. You almost think of that as the old days of watching, what was it? The wrestling things, the luchador type things, you know, where the guy's standing there, give me the tag. That's how I look at with Yahweh, like going, call me, okay? Let me in to help. You know, and then we're going to wait till we get up to orange or red. And then we're going to call on Yahweh, okay? When we get up to orange and red, then we call Yahweh. Wait a minute. And it's like it was a big opening eye-opener to me when I started getting really frustrated where I lost something that was really important. And so what went from green really quick went up to yellow. Because if this is lost, if it is actually lost, I'm in deep trouble. And I'm like going, okay, what am I doing? Yahweh knows where this is. And so I'm like going, okay, Yahweh, I'm going to come before you. And it was not until I relaxed my mind and got peaceful, and that was my keys that were here, they were on your counter. That was when at your old house. And I'm like going, and he showed me, here it is. It was the same thing when I lost that tooth. Okay, that tooth came off. And I'm like going, Yahweh, tell me what I need to do. And I'm like going, God peaceful. And so these things, we don't have to wait till we escalate up to these areas. At the very bottom, we should be exercising and getting fluent with this, because when we get up into the orange and red, things are drastic. It's not the right time to be, what do I need to do? How do I learn to get into that mode to hear from Yahweh and have that dealing with Yahweh? So this is the same thing. I think of that with Yahweh reaching out, but until we reach out for Yahweh, he's kind of limited. He's bound for us to say, call in. He's wanting to be there right with you. Storms are coming. Yahweh's like going, I'm with you. I'll be with you in it. Okay, next one here. I had a little problems with us. I ran through this. I'm not sure what's going on with my... Sometimes it doesn't
lost my keys
right.
Once when Cabin was 4. He saw me scurrying around. I'm looking, and he goes, what's wrong, Dad? And I said, I lost my wallet. I can't find it, or my keys. And he goes, ask Yahweh! I looked over, and I laughed a little bit, like, yeah.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, I was like, I got down on my knees with Caden and found it. I'm like, I almost didn't ask him.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not a level red yet.
Well, and he's like, you want to feel like, wait a minute, I don't want to bother him for that. I'm like, oh, come on. And I'm like going, Yahweh's like going, are you kidding me? This is me getting to show myself strong. Amen. That's a miracle when something's missing and Yahweh shows it to you. What do you call that? I'm like going, that's faith in action. I'm like going, that's pretty cool. And that's minimal faith in action, because these are smaller things. But guess what?
Yes.
That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. Mm-hmm. So how much do you want to exercise that spirit? And that's where it comes down to. Okay, being defeated, this is a couple things that I came across. Being defeated is a temporary condition. Giving up is what makes it permanent. And so that's when we're in the storms where you feel like you're defeated. We're talking about a orange or red level storm on these things, a lot of them. You're only defeated when you quit. And opportunity comes disguised in forms of misfortune sometimes. Now, don't get mistaken here. We're not saying that something horrible that happens to somebody is, well, that's going to be because something's good coming out of it. But there are a lot of times when appears something to be horrible, okay? Think about it this way. You're driving in that same appointment that you were going to be late for, okay? And you start interceding, and guess what? You get diverted for traffic, and you bypass an accident that you may have been in. Okay, so there's a lot of these things that you look at it and you're like going, okay, so this was a detract from where I was going, where I thought I was going, but sometimes that misfortune, I'm not talking about death, I'm talking about something that seems out of the ordinary can lead to it. I think about Chuck with his work, and all of a sudden that there's coming down and we're going to have to switch to a different financial organization. Things turn out to be pretty good. It was tough at the beginning, but then all of a sudden things change and you're like going, you know what? This was better. And thank goodness for this, you know, that this misfortune actually pushed something even into a better predicament. And that's what I'm referring to, is that we have to be open to that, being like, going, okay, we have to have that optimism as well. A temporary defeat is what we look at. It's okay to have a meltdown, okay? Everybody does, especially when you get up to those upper ones, okay? Just don't set up camp there, okay? This is a temporary thing. To let it out, it has to come out, and then, okay, pick up, and now what do? We move. Cry out, and then renew your mind, and get back in the game. Get back in the game, and get going again. But everybody's going to, and at the same point, I think to myself sometimes, it's probably not a good idea to stop somebody from having that meltdown, as long as it's very temporary, okay? Get it out, be done, and then let's move on. You know, like the hug there, and
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Okay, get it out. We're done. All right. So that's it. So let's switch over to 2 Corinthians here, and we'll be on chapter 4.
185.
Thank you.
184. Around there.
73.
Okay. So if somebody, let me get here. 4-9, if somebody would read that for me.
I will. In whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, to the end they may not discern the radiance of the glad message of the glory of the Christ, who is the image of Elohim. For not ourselves do we proclaim, but Christ Yahushua as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Yahushua's sake. Because the God who said, out of darkness light shall shine, is he who has shone in our hearts in proportion to the radiance of the glorious knowledge of God in the face of Christ. Howbeit we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. On every side pressed hard, but not hemmed in, without a way, but not without a byway, pursued, but not abandoned, thrown down, but not destroyed.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're gonna kind of dissect verses 8 and 9. So if you kind of watch over, we're gonna look at these two here, and we're gonna kind of dissect a few of the things on here, because it's kind of cool, some of the translation for this. So we are pressed hard, okay? Or we're hard pressed, I'm sorry. The hard pressed here is this one here, however you say that, thlebo, okay? Pressed is grapes, hard pressed, narrow, straightened, okay? And we're going to look at a few of these words here that actually give a little bit more expounding on these two verses here. The crushed portion of this here, and I'm not sure how you say that. Okay, I'm not sure how that would be, but to straighten.
Inocorium?
Mm-hmm. And this is crushed now, and this is the 4729, which is a little bit different, because you see this here, it says straighten or distressed. Okay, straighten, compress, cramp, reduce the straits, to be straightened in spirit. Okay, and then to be perplexed. We are perplexed. So we're hard pressed. So as you read in here and you read the differences between those, and verse 8, on every side pressed hard, but not hemmed in, without a way, but not without a byway. And so this is it. This is verse 8. This is in King James with the Strong's, and as we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, are we perplexed? The perplexed here is the 639, okay, and this is it. And it's to be without resources, to be in straits, to be left wanting, embarrassed, be in doubt, not to know which way to turn, loss of oneself and doubt, not to know how to decide or what to do, to be perplexed. And so it's one of those things that you could imagine in you get up to those big storms, and that's the first thing that happens, is all your own senses kick in, and all your own senses cloud the entire picture. You're never going to see Yahweh's doing his miracles when everything's clouded. It's going to take the person to clear it. Clear the deck. Okay, I think about that with, who was it that we listened to? The Andrew
Womack?
Womack, yeah, about his son, when his son died. And him and his wife are singing songs on the way there. And I'm thinking to myself, could I do that? I need to learn to do that. I need to make myself get to that point where I can be that way. Because when everything goes out, this is where you are. You're hard-pressed. Which way do I look? Which way do I go? And until you clear that out to be able to get the perplexation away, I think I made up a word there.
But, you do.
Okay? But until you can get rid of that and focus, okay? It's not the visible. It's the invisible. Despair. Okay, that's the 1820. Middle voice, to be utterly at loss, destitute, to renounce all hope, be in despair. And I'm like going, yeah, that sums that up pretty darn good. Okay, be in despair, that it's things now are out of your control. And so guess what? When we're at the green and the blue levels, the keys, worst case scenario. I got to call a locksmith out here. It's going to cost me hundreds of dollars. Man, that really sucks. Okay, but in my mind, all right, if we have to go down that route, it's okay. But when you start getting up to the orange and the red, it's not a couple hundred dollars and we can buy our way out of this. Okay, we're into different elements, and that's despair. Okay, verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. The persecuted here is this word here. Dioko, I guess is how that is. To make run or flee, put to flight, drive away, run swiftly, catch a person, to persecute, mistreat, suffer persecution. Okay, and so this is what we're reading, where you're like going, okay, we're gonna go through stuff. And it's gonna happen. And so we can be prepared for when those happen, or we can wait until that time strikes us and then figure out how do we deal with that now. And so this is kind of a precursor, if you will, to storms are coming. We have to always be ready for it. It's going to happen. Now, in verse 10, I'm going to continue this because there's more to this story here. I'm going to read 10 through 18, and I'll read these here. At all times be putting to death of Yehoshua in our body, bearing about in order that the life also of Yehoshua in our body may be made manifest. In other words, other scriptures you see that we were crucified with Christ, we're also raised with Christ. Okay? In order that life also be made manifest. In verse 11, for evermore we the living unto death are being delivered for Yehoshua's sake, in order that the life also of Yehoshua may be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that his death in us doth energize. But his life in you, howbeit, seeing that we have the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spake. We also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who raised up Lord Yehoshua will raise up also together with Yehoshua, and will present us together with you. For all things are for your sake, in order that the favor abounding may through means of greater number cause the thanksgiving to superabound unto the glory of Yahweh. Therefore, we faint not, but even if our outer man is decaying, nevertheless, our inner man is renewing day by day, for the momentary lightness of the tribulation, in a manner yet more and more excelling, is working out for us an age-abiding weight of glory. So long as we are not looking for the visible things, but for the invisible. For the visible things are temporary, whereas the invisible are age-abiding. Okay? And so this was one of the things I think about. You know, the storms that the apostles went through. You think about that with Peter. The storms they went through, okay? They are, you know, the one I did the teaching on, that was the third watch of the night. I'm telling you that I think Christ is coming out to them as the sun's about to rise. Okay? That's between 3 and 6 in the morning is the fourth watch. Okay? So they're out there and they're stranded and things are looking bleak. Okay? And on top of looking bleak, they're worried they're gonna die, and now here comes saying, oh great, as if it wasn't bad enough we're gonna drown. What the heck is this thing coming out after us? Okay? Holy cow, seriously, what's happening? And then all of a sudden, what happens? Christ comes out, calms it, calls Peter. I'm telling you, by the time they get to the shore, people aren't talking about the storm they just had. They're talking about what Peter did. Okay, Peter, dude, you walked on the water. Are you kidding me? That's the story that's going to be told. The storm, who cares? The boat's full of water. Yeah, we're going to have to repair it. We're going to have to fix it a little bit. But guess what? This dude, he walked on water. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. That's what came from that. Okay? And so for that, his whole life, nobody's like going, hey, tell us about that storm, you know, when we're in paradise. Tell us about those storms. I'm like, no. Okay? What happened is what manifests from that. And so when we think about that, we have to vision ourselves. And as I was going through and studying for this, there's a lot of references in Psalms about God, or Yahweh, calming the seas. The exact same way that Christ did. Their people were in peril, and he calmed the seas. Calmed the seas. He spoke to it, and it was still. And I'm like going, yeah, so here's Christ reading this going, yeah, not a big deal. Christ walks out on it, though. I'm like going, heck yeah! So that's the thing. I'm like going, you know what? You're in a pretty limited group there, Peter. Okay? Nobody cares about the storm, because guess what? Was that his only storm? No. Peter went through a couple storms. Yeah. One of the times, Christ was on the boat with them. Okay? One of the times he wasn't. But the big thing with that is that he was able to do something that would not have happened without that storm. And they all survived. And so from that, you're like going, that was pretty impressive. And it was pretty impressive for us, because man, what a story for us as well. Okay, let's go to the wiki. Let's switch to the wiki now, and we're going to switch over to Proverbs. Ugh. We're going to be Proverbs 1. And we're going to go 22 through 33. So will somebody read the first half? Melania, will you read about 5 or 6 of those for me once you get to it? In verse 22 through, why don't you read like 22 through 28?
All right. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scoffers in scoffing delight them, and dullards hate knowledge? Will ye turn at my reproof? Lo, I will pour unto you my spirit, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I called, and ye refused. I stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. But ye dismissed all my counsel, and to my rebuke would not yield. I also, at your calamity, will laugh. I will mock when cometh your dread, when cometh as a crashing your dread over calamity, as the storm wind overtaketh. When there come upon you distress and anguish, then will they call to me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently. They will seek me diligently, but shall not find me.
And I'll read here from this. Because they hated knowledge, and the reverence of Yahweh did not choose, consented not to my counsel, disdained all my rebuke. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and with their own counsels be filled. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the careless of dullards will destroy them. Okay, and 33, we're going to close on 33. Whereas he that hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and be at rest without dread of misfortune. Okay, we are going to have problems, but Yahweh tells us how to do this, and it tells us what's going to happen, and the world is going to come against us. We're in a fallen world, and it will change. There will be a day that will change, but it's not at this point. Okay, so let's flip back to Psalms 37. Page 546. And will somebody else read this here for me, 9 through 19?
For the evildoers shall be cut off, but as for them who wait for Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. Yet a little, therefore, and the lawless one shall not be. Yea, thou shalt look about over his place, and he shall have vanished. But the patient oppressed ones shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves over the abundance of prosperity. Plotting is a lawless one against the just, and gnashing upon him with his teeth. My Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day will come. A sword have the lawless drawn out, and have trodden their bow, to bring down the oppressed and the needy, to slaughter the upright in life. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. Better the little of the righteous man than the abundance of the lawless who are mighty, for the arms of the lawless shall be broken. But Yahweh is upholding the righteous. Yahweh knoweth the days of the blameless, that their inheritance unto time's age abiding shall continue. They shall not be ashamed in the time of calamity. And in the days of famine shall they be filled. For the lawless shall perish, and the foes of Yahweh be like the glory of the meadows. They have vanished. In smoke have they vanished.
Perfect. Okay, and so as we see, as we go through here, the we're going to be persecuted by the world and the unrighteous. We're going to be persecuted, and especially the more we stand out. The more you exercise faith, the more they're going to shut you down. The adversary is working ploys all over the place, and the wicked are going to come against us. And Yahweh's got our back, but we're going to still go through storms. It's going to come against us. We're going to have that. You can see that all through the Word where that happens, where it takes place. And for us to be able to come to Yahweh, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? How do we work with this? How do we do this? When we are hard-pressed, okay, we should always be coming to Yahweh from the smallest up to the biggest things for all these storms that we go through. Okay, the lifeboat phase here, or the rescue, if you will. What is it that we have to do when we're in those storms? Because we're going to be in them, okay? So what's our attitude? There are some things that you can definitely see that are trends that are very good when you're in these types of things. Habakkuk is a tough one, so if anybody can call me out of page on this one. It is not one I go to very often.
894.
Thank you.
Oh, 94?
96.
Yeah, it's only, 894 months.
Oh,
it's
eight?
Only a couple pages.
Say,
yeah, it's only a couple pages after Nahum. Okay, so this is one I've used before, and it comes in perfect here with this, because I think of it as a country, as if you think about righteous people who are living in a wicked country. And what happens, okay? There are things that happen, and people in Egypt with Joseph, basically everybody had to leave. There was how many times, that Yahweh warned the people that you're going to be overtaken in Israel, in Jerusalem, and, in Judah, that they're going to be overrun by their wickedness if they don't repent. And so there were righteous people there, but they get trapped into this as well. And so I think about that. What happens, if you are the righteous person and the amount of unrighteous that you basically get caught up in some of these, Yahweh's going to give you warning. But he may also tell you, hey, listen, I need you to be a prophet amongst these people. And to be calling them out and to be telling them the entire time. You're like, I really want to flee. I want to get up somewhere else. And I may tell you, you are my spokesman. You're my mouthpiece for these people. Okay, so let's go here to Habakkuk 3. And Aaron, would you mind reading that 16 through 19?
Sure. I heard and I trembled within me at the voice. My lips quivered. Decay entered my bones. And in my limbs I tremble, though I am to find rest in the day of distress, when their invader cometh up against the people. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no sprouting in the vines, and the yield of the olive should have deceived, and the fields have not brought forth food. The flocks have been consumed out of the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I, in Yahweh, will rejoice. Mm-hmm. I'll exult in the Elohim of my salvation. Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. Therefore hath he made my feet like hinds, and upon high places will he cause me to march along to the chief musician on my double harp.
That's it. Wow. Okay, and so you read that, the whole first part of this is just, I mean, talk about distressed. Everything is, it's just gone. Everything's gone. Okay, and yet, what's the significance of that right there? Yet in Yahweh will I rejoice, I will exalt in Yahweh of my salvation. I think to myself, hey, here's a great idea. When things are crappy, when you're up in the orange and red, and things are horrible, and you're trying to clear your mind, and you're trying to figure out, what do? Here's a great start. Start number one. Start speaking in tongues, and then start confessing. And change things away from the calamity to, hey, here's one thing it's not going to do. It's not going to hurt you at all. Okay? Not going to hurt you. It's going to be the entryway to start switching the perception of what's happening. Okay? I'm going to just read this one here off the screen here because we've had a couple scriptures here to read. This is out of Hebrews. Do not then cast away your freedom of speech, the which hath a great recompense. For of endurance ye have need, in order that the will of Yahweh having done, you may bear away the promise. For yet a little while, how short, the coming one will be here and will not tarry. But my righteous ones by faith shall live. And if he draw back, my soul delighteth not in him. We, however, are not of a drawing back unto the destruction, but of faith unto the acquisition of life. Okay, and so that's the other thing, is the perception that we have, knowing where we stand and what our future is, gives you a little bit of hope. So yeah, you know what? So the person, you know, I think to myself, the guy standing in front of the firing squad, if you don't know what your future is going to be after that, that'd be pretty grim. Yeah. But if you like going, you know what, I ran my race, and so I have done everything. This is not going to be a big deal. Not going to be a big deal. All right, next one here. Somebody want to read that one for me? You don't have to go to it. We can just read it right off here.
I will.
Go ahead.
To the chief musician for the sons of Korah on Almoth, a song. God for us is a refuge and strength, a help in distress soon found. For this cause will we not fear, though the earth showeth change, or the mountains slip into the heart of the seas.
That's right. And so when we see things, when our eyes show us things, when the world is dragging us into things, where we are not of this world, but we're still, I mean, look at our country, you know, what happens. And in the last 20, 30 years, the quick progression of turning away and pulling away from things, I'm like going, you know, in just the last 4 years, I think to myself, if we keep this pace in 10 years, what, you know, where are we going to be? And it's going to call for us to stand out. Well, we're going to be a minority. And guess what? You're going to take some persecution. And I'm like going, yeah, guess what? Is it worth it? Yes. Is it worth it for our offspring, for what we need to do for righteousness sake? Absolutely. But not again that we have to keep focused on the invisible and not the visible. We have to stand in faith and do what we're called to do. Psalms, let's go to this one here. And I think this is our last one here. We're going to be early, which will be kind of nice. Psalms 9. Verse 9. All right. I'll read this one here. Chapter 9, page 532, 9 through 11. Thus be Yahweh a refuge for the crushed one, a refuge for times of destitution. Thus let them who know thy name put confidence in thee, that thou hast not forsaken the searches for thee, O Yahweh. Sing ye praise to Yahweh, who was seated in Zion. Tell among the peoples his doings. When he was making acquisition for blood of them, he remembered, he forgot not the outcry of the oppressed. Okay, and that's it. Again, singing praises to Yahweh. And so when you see that at the beginning, a refuge for the crushed one, well, that's, guess what? it's beyond the point that, hey, I'm in this now. Things are grim, and this is where we're seeing this. And so I always have to think to myself that you're not going to avoid the storms, but Yahweh's going to be with you in them. Okay? And that's how you have to look at it. You're not going to get away from them. You can't, hey, take this all away from me. Just take it away. Make life really easy and great. How nice that seems it would be. Okay? It really does. But you're not going to have that. And so Yahweh's not going to take away those storms. Those storms are coming. But Yahweh is there with you in the storm. And that's the difference.
Okay. Just sing praises to him when you're doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so the other thing is, you see in the word how many times that people cried out. Okay? And I think to myself, yeah, when things are bad, you're going to cry out, Yahweh, what's going on? What do I need to do? What did I miss? What's happening? And so it can be a literal crying out to Yahweh. What's happening? Is something wrong? Did I forget to repent of something? What's happening? Tell me what I need to do. How am I going to survive this? These are the things that you're going to pour out literally to Yahweh. And so I think about this. I just pulled up a handful of them here. Elijah, for the sake of the child, cried out to Yahweh. Jehoshaphat cried out to Yahweh for his life. Hezekiah, for a victory in war and for his life. Okay? Literally crying out. Yehoshua's disciples, deliverance from the storms, a couple of them that they cried out. Literally cried out for him. And that's what I think to myself. Yeah, there comes a point. Well, you may not cry out for the green and the blue. You know, I don't want to seem like the baby. You know, golly, do I really need to cry out? And I'm like going, might be a different kind of cry out. Okay, I'm going to fall down before Yahweh on my knees, and I need information. I need to know what to do. Okay, I need direction. But you're definitely going to cry out when you get up in the orange and the red. Okay, and that's it. That's what you're going to do. The blind man, boy, he made a scene for his sight. Okay, mm-hmm. The man born lame for help. Okay, and was able to get it. And so, how do you think about all these times that people sat silent and just dealt with this stuff? Okay, well, guess what? Yahweh's give me the tag. Call on me. Call on me. Humble yourself. Sing these praises and call for me. Call for me. Cry out for me. All right. And I think it didn't do the last one here as well. So this one here. This was I listened to a lot of bot radio in the mornings and whatnot. And Robbie Zacharias, he's got some good messages. Some of them are a little bit weird, but I love this one that he had. He said it was an old Indian with a dot, not with a feather. Statement that they would say, and as he talked about it, I'm like going, man, that really makes sense. It says whatever you're overflowing with will spill out when you get bumped. Gee, was that? Well, yeah, it makes sense. But here's where that doesn't make sense. If you're full of anxiety, nervousness, anger, hatred, joy, when you get bumped, this is what's going to come out. This is what's going to come out. And so the whole thing is, let's be filling ourselves with something different. If we know that when we get bumped, what comes out is vitriol, scared, nervous, frightened, okay, fear. That's what comes out when you get bumped. Then it's time to start filling with something else and filling it with those other things. And boy, filling it up with overflowing of optimism, okay, of graciousness. Yahweh, you've filled my cup so well that when you get hit, you're like, you know what? Yahweh, thank you for what you've given me, and I know you're going to take care of me even in this. We're good to go, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what comes out. And I'm like going, that's pretty good because everybody's going to get that bump. Okay, those are the storms. So, all right, that's it. We'll go ahead and close, and I'll have a closing word and a prophecy. Yahweh, we thank you for the believers here. We thank you again for your word that we're able to study it, to read it, that through these things that you make yourself known, that this is elementary, that as we open up your word, that's where you are, that's a starting point, that we can find you, that we can find the discernment on things of life, for everything is in there. There's nothing new under the sun. For what people think now, well, things are different today. There's nothing different. Things change, but everything is still the same. It is still the same same sins. It is still the same problems today that there was 2,000 years ago. And so we thank you for this, that in your word we find these things, we find the stories, we find the hope, and we find the hope that you've given to us, that we know our future, that regardless of what we see this day, what we see tomorrow, and even in this next year, that we're also looking to the heavens for your son, that we have the hope of the coming future that we're going to have, of righteousness, and to be able to live in great great territory and great experience, and to be able to walk with you, to walk with your son. We just thank you for these. We thank you for that opportunity. So we stay focused on you, stay focused on the prize, and do not get defeated by this world or the things, the dirty tricks and those things that are handed out that the adversary is just smiling for we will defeat him, that we know his destiny. And so every time that we are kicked, that we remind that adversary that what his ultimate goal is going to be as well. So we thank you for this. We thank you for the words you give and for this teaching. And would you say this all in your son's name, Christ Jesus. My child, come before me and know that as you do, to focus in, to start with on your life and what you are, and answer the questions of what you are and who you are and how you came about. For as you dissect, that you will be able to find meaning, that there is something beyond this world and this realm, that there is other choices that are to be made. And as you do, that you will be able to find me as you start reading, as you start searching, that you come before me and bow yourself down and seek wise counsel, for any answer can be given. If you go to the person that you are seeking an answer from, that you will find that answer. But the answers that are true are within me. And if you find wise counsel that will direct towards me to find out and search for me, for I have plans for you. I have great opportunities for you. And as I see them, if you could even see the glimpse of what I have in store for you, it would just make you just shine and just jump with glee. So come before me knowing that I am to give these things to you, but I require that you first humble yourself and come to me and speak my words and find me through my word, that you may have redemption and become a new creation that I'm calling you to be. Amen.
All right.